Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life with your host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson, and we will be talking about the science of the soul. If you have a question or comment for our guest tonight, the number here is 888-627-6008. Tonight's show is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. So, Bob, let's just jump into the show. I know you have a lot of great questions you need to get straight with Dr. Swanson. So, let's go.
Let's introduce Claude. Claude Swanson was educated as a physicist at MIT and Princeton University. At Princeton, he received the National Science Foundation Fellowship and Putnam Fellowship. His PhD thesis at Princeton was done in the Gravity Group, which focuses on experimental cosmology and astronomy. For more than 20 years, interspersed with his conventional professional career in applied physics, Dr. Swanson has pursued investigations into unconventional physics, and we'll find out what that is. His principal interest has been unified field theory, the so-called theory of everything, which could explain the universe at the deepest possible level. This has led him to investigate many aspects of the paranormal that appear to be completely real phenomena which violate our present science. These paranormal phenomena, which now have been proven in the laboratory in many cases, offer a window into the deeper universe, the mysteries of consciousness, and unlock new forces and principles which conventional science has only begun to glimpse. Claude's the author of a series, The Synchronized Universe and Life Force, two definitive works that integrate science and spirituality. And his newest book, which we're going to be talking about today, is Science of the Soul, the Afterlife, and the Shift. So welcome back, Claude. A pleasure to have you with us again.
Well, thank you, Bob and Fran, and great to be here. Thank you.
So we're talking, I mentioned your new book, and in the metaphysical community, we often hear talk about a shift of consciousness that's coming. And it's generally people are talking from a spiritual perspective. Now, you also foresee a shift, and you discuss it from a scientific perspective. So what's going to be the impetus for this shift?
Okay, can I back up one step or two?
Sure.
Because, you know, like most Western physicists, Bob, I was educated in our standard science, which is pretty materialistic. And it doesn't really have any place for spirits. And so they believe that when you die, you die. You die. That's it. You know, nothing left. And I accepted all that. And then in the 1980s, I came across remote viewing. And that was my introduction to a whole bunch of physical phenomena that tell us that our science, that consciousness is a really important part of our science. And there is actually a force involved with consciousness, and that's really what I've been doing research on for the past 30 years or so, and all my books really indirectly relate to that. With the Russia, I discovered in the end of the process that the Russians are far ahead of us in this area. They've identified this special energy. They call it torsion. They have scientists, hard scientists working on it, propulsion, energy, healing, all kinds of things. And they have equations, and it was a revelation when I discovered that. Eventually, I started to ask the question, well, what about the soul? I mean, when we die, the Western view is, well, you know, you're dead. You know, you cremate the body, and that's it. But if there's another force, namely torsion, that still exists after the body dies, and that's what it appears to be the case, then this torsion carries the intelligence, the consciousness, all the characteristics of who we are. When you go out of body, that out of body form, the astral body, appears to be made of this same energy, torsion. So that's really kind of how I got involved in the third book, was trying to understand what this science should look like, and that took me into, you know, studying the afterlife for about 10 years, all the evidence, different kinds of phenomena. Toward the end, I began hearing on YouTube accounts by a couple individuals, David Wilcock and Corey Good, who were talking about the shift from a technological point of view. But then I went back and realized that many, many witnesses who have been hypnotically regressed in their past lives, who have had UFO contacts, out-of-body contacts, all different types of experiences, have been talking about this shift. And they're saying there's a consciousness shift that is underway. And I was kind of flabbergasted because, I mean, I guess back in the year 2000, I was looking for something dramatic because of Edgar Cayce and then the Mayans in 2012, but it didn't seem to happen. And yet I find that many, many people are talking about it. So I believe there's something genuine in the near future involving a shift of consciousness. And I find that this special energy torsion can actually explain how that shift can come about, because torsion should exist almost like clouds in space, concentrations of this torsion, where it's stronger in one place, weaker someplace else. As we pass through one of these clouds, as our solar system goes through it, we will experience changes on the Earth. And some of the changes that we've been seeing in our solar system the past few decades reflect that type of shift. So my hypothesis is that torsion is the origin of the shift, and that we are in it now. We've started.
Yeah, and what intrigued me, in reading the book, is that you mention, of course, that it's not only Earth that right now that's going through all of these changes, but virtually every planet in the solar system. So, you know, it's not unique to our planet. It's all part of this torsion shift. But you also mentioned that, you know, you just said that you believe we're already into it. And there's a connection, I know you believe, between this shift and the emotional states of people, and possibly their own intuitive abilities. So you want to talk about that a bit? I mean, is this shift affecting us in any non-physical way?
I believe it is. I have an argument, a description, or a scientific explanation in the early part of the book, explaining how our consciousness, we are always interacting with higher planes. The basis of all my work is called the synchronized universe model that goes back to my first book. And really, it's that there can be many, many parallel dimensions that are separated by frequencies. But the ones which are in the same space, that perceive themselves as being part of the same reality, have a certain frequency that enables them to interact with each other. And so the matter in that dimension, it all is connected together. As our brain and our body shift to a higher frequency, we can make contact with some of the higher spiritual planes. Just like when you meditate, you take on some of these higher frequencies and you begin to make contact, at least theoretically, if you're really doing it well, with some of the higher spiritual planes, or maybe more advanced beings up there that can give you wisdom, give you answers. And that's what I think happens when this left-handed torsion becomes prominent, that it raises the frequency components and gives us the ability to access these higher planes of consciousness. So people will start to act differently and feel differently. However, there's still a part of this reaction that depends on the person, because it kind of gives us potential contact with these higher planes of consciousness, but some level of meditation and relaxation and calming is necessary to make good use of it. It's possible to kind of go off the deep end and react to this new energy in a kind of a crazy way. So I think, you know, some of the dramatic energies that are floating around in our world today might be indicators of this new energy that is already present, but that it depends on how people are stabilizing themselves and staying centered as far as how they take advantage of it and react to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna go to a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk specifically about a little bit more about your theory of torsion and how this may affect communication, you know, with those in another realm in the afterlife. So stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Swanson in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems developed by the parents of a young man who passed away are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 888-627-6008. This show is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And as Fran mentioned, we are talking with Dr. Claude Swanson in a new book, Science of the Soul, the Afterlife and the Shift. So, Claude, I mean, you go into great detail, some of it a little bit above my head about, synchronized universe. But what I get out of it in simplistic terms is, you know, the universe is made up of many planes. Each plane operates in its own phase and frequency. So we can see and react with each other because we're all synchronized with each other. But there are other planes of existence in which we're presently out of phase with, so they're not visible to us. So some of us, not only now, but going back in history, have had the ability, some stronger than others, to synchronize with these other planes, some more, more than others. So is that a fair assessment?
That's a very clear, excellent description of the model.
And, okay.
and therefore, people who can shift frequencies in their consciousness that would be able to access the afterlife and the spirit world. So mediums, shamans, people like that who are able to control how they connect with other planes, that's how they would do it.
And, obviously we're not going to get too deep into, left-hand torsion and so forth, but in torsion being responsible for these connections, there's no such thing as past and future, is there? I mean, it can speed up or slow down time. So torsion is, in that sense, is it a network, of communication that we all can access?
Yeah, that's how I look at it. That at a microscopic scale, every little particle in the universe is zipping around back and forth, and it's sending out little photons and little particles and receiving them. So they're all connecting with each other at a very high rate of speed throughout the universe. And these waves can go, according to our present physics even, these waves can go forward and backward in time. So when we think about our universe as being sort of three dimensions of space and one of time, really it's a higher dimensional system where there are higher dimensions. And we're just kind of in that little slice that we call the present, but there is more out there. So it's possible to travel even in time by this model. When you travel in time, you may end up on a different slice, a different parallel universe because of your shift. But there's a lot more things that are possible than you would normally think. It's a pretty interesting place out there.
Yeah. And you theorize that our souls take with them a template or a hologram of their body form. So would that explain how and why apparitions are able to appear?
I think it does explain part of it, yeah. That when people go out of body, for example, clairvoyants sometimes see a shape of that body, and they can tell who it is by the apparition that they see. And other people, probably most people, only maybe see an orb, small 1-inch diameter little ball of energy. And when people try to photograph it, that's what they most often see. But some people are able to perceive that hologram of the full body. And of course, as you know, we have lots of cases where people spontaneously go out of body and they project to some other place. I have one example in my book, it's kind of famous, of a lady in California who was thinking about her daughter in Oregon. She just had a baby, I guess, and the lady is fixing supper and goes lies down on the sofa wearing her apron, but she's, you know, her daughter is on her mind, and while she started dozing off, she appears to her daughter and husband in Oregon as a full, solid, three-dimensional figure. And they recognize her, and they are worried that something, maybe she just died, because why is she suddenly here? And the funny thing about it is that she had bought a red dress that she was planning to wear when she visited her daughter, but it was packed away somewhere. But when she materialized in Oregon, she was wearing that new red dress. So It kind of shows you that consciousness plays a part in our appearance. But that physical model of the hologram seems to be a real part of the soul. And if you think about the afterlife, people often recognize other people in the afterlife by their appearance. You can put on that image of how you look in life, and that'll make it easier to recognize you.
Absolutely. Would you mind taking a call from a listener?
Happy to, sure. Okay. Bob, can I make a real quick interjection first?
Sure.
My books, I'm presently trying to avoid selling them on Amazon because on Amazon they don't give you the email address of the purchaser. So I'm trying to use my website for my business. So it's synchronizeduniverse.com is the website, or you can email me at claudeswanson@gmail for anybody who wants to purchase the book. So
okay, and we'll repeat
and
website.
There's much more information there too about the book. So
okay, all right. So we have who do we have, Fran?
We have Rose from California. Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I was a total non-believer, completely, about the afterlife or spirits or ghosts, whatever you want to call them. So many, many years ago, I told my partner, who really believed, I said, well, let's create the word. Password did not exist yet. It was that long ago. And I said, you know, let's create a code. And it was like, what do you mean a code? I said, yeah, whoever dies first will communicate, and there will be a code, and there would be no doubt that communication is a direct communication. So I just made it very easy. Two words, our children. Why? Because we had dogs and cats, and because we're our children. And occasionally I would say, what's the code? And she would say, what code? I would say, well, the code about, you know, when we die. And she would occasionally would remember. And then there were other times when she would laugh and she would say, what if I forget? I said, oh, you're not going to forget. I will remind you. Years went by and she died. Several things happened that were so absolutely incredible and insane. But I'll tell you just the one about the code. Very shortly after her passing, a lady who did not know me or her or anything, and who didn't charge me and Nicole, it was done. We became friends, through emails. And she said, well, you know that your partner is coming so strongly, and she says that there is something you need to know. And did you make a pact? And I'm thinking about, you know, a suicide pact. I said, no. But there was insistence, and, you know, I'll try to make it very brief. But it went on, like, for a week. And finally, this person said, wait a minute, you know that I don't have any peace because she says you need to know. And now she appears and she's laughing and she's holding a big cat facing me and there is a little dog by her side. And I immediately remembered and was like, oh my God, yeah. But then something else happened. My niece knew a medium who was not well known at the time. And my niece said, you know, he's practicing. He said, well, you know, he's not going to charge anything. So yeah. I go.
Rose, we've got to speed it up.
The first thing that this man said was, do you have a twin? No, I don't have a twin. He proceeded to give me one detail that there was absolutely nothing that could be said something else. My question is, when is it easier for the spirit to communicate with the living shortly after their passing, or as time passes, time as we know it passes, it becomes more difficult?
Okay, so that's a good question. So Claude, so the question is communication with those in spirit more prevalent shortly after the passing?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, so...
Or something...
Yeah, we lost our guest, so when... just to answer your question from our perspective, there are certainly many cases of communication with those in spirit after many, many years as we know them. There are cases where people that have been deceased for 50, 60 years still communicate. But I think that overall, the research shows that the communications come more frequently closer to somebody's passing. And they do seem to fade with time. Who knows why? You know, the most logical explanation that those in the spirit world have a lot more to do. I mean, they've already given the evidence that they still exist and they're exploring. So it would make sense that they're not going to stay attached to the physical world.
Yeah, wait time. Well, you know, I give you just two precise instances. There were more. There were no doubt. I mean, there was absolutely no doubt. So I became a believer because I had no choice. It was almost as if, you know, the spirit was proving to me beyond the shadow of the doubt.
That's the most important thing. I mean, it was your personal proof, so... What's better than that? All right, thank you for calling, Rose.
Well, thank you for answering my question. And
okay.
Yeah, I guess they have much more to do than we do.
Right.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
All right, you too. We're gonna try to get our guest. I do have a cell phone number. Maybe we can get them on that. So, you know, while we're waiting, you know, for Claude, we're going to talk about, I can tell you a little bit about what you can expect in the book. I mean, he goes into the best evidence, you know, for the afterlife, some of which you may be familiar with. He talks about direct voice mediums in the past. He talks about materializations. He talks about near-death experiences, orbs, which were a complicated subject. I mean, a lot of scientists summarily dismiss orbs, but I think it's like everything else. Some are photographic anomalies, which Claude talks about, and others seem to be, you know, concentrations of energy that are, you know, our loved ones in spirit. You know, he talks about in the book certain religious concepts, you know, such as heaven and hell. So I think we have our guest back on. Claude, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Welcome back.
So, When you're, you know, with all the research, you know, that you've done, you know, about the afterlife, what are your thoughts about, are there, because a common question, people want to know, are there levels in the afterlife? I mean, do we, is it a state of progression? Do we start off on one level, so to speak, and then go to different frequency planes as we progress?
Yes, absolutely. The reason for that is that like attracts like, that the interaction, the consciousness is so strong in the afterlife that if you're at a certain level of consciousness, you need to be with people of a similar level. If you're with people of a lower level, I mean, just think how thought can manifest things. In the afterlife, when you think of something, you can create a reality just by a thought very quickly. If you're around people with very negative, evil thoughts, it's going to be very difficult for you. And so there's a natural separation into planes in the afterlife of people of comparable spiritual development and comparable attitude.
Yeah, and in the book, you also, and on another subject, you discuss near-death experiences. And you also talk about the similarities between near-death experiences and, you know, reported alien contact and abductions, as they both often start off with an out-of-body experience. And that got me thinking, so there's substantial evidence for reincarnation, and you talk about that in the book, for otherworldly contact. So what I never could figure out, though, bearing in mind that our vast, a universe is vast, I always thought it was sort of like tunnel vision to assume that we all reincarnate back to Earth. I mean, we're just one speck in this great vastness, let's face it. So perhaps our ancestors reincarnated to other systems and other planets, and some are more advanced than they were in this dense world. And some of these visitations and contacts that we interpret as aliens are simply our ancestors communicating. Well, does that make
absolutely
sense?
I totally agree, Bob. You know, I had some past life regressions where I was not always human in every previous existence or some other locations. So I totally believe that. One of the things that you learn about from listening to you know, these spirits and these different forms of communication in the afterlife is they put a lot of effort and a lot of energy into planning their next incarnation, because it's all about learning. It's all about the soul advancing. And so they have libraries, they have research they do in the afterlife to plan the next life. And where they go will depend on what they're working on. If there are people that they're trying to repay karma with, we often incarnate in groups with other people we have some long-term connections with, but there's still a tendency to go to where we need to go in that lifetime to learn the lessons that are appropriate. So it could be other planets, absolutely.
Mm. When we talk about phases and frequency, I know that, and you've written about it, and people that go out of body and people that have near-death experiences, that they frequently report hearing a buzzing sound or a noise as they go out of body. So might that be generated by this change in phase or frequency?
Absolutely. You got it. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. The other part that I was really delighted to learn about, with all this, we have a wealth of information about the afterlife from many different sources, and I could talk about those if there's time, or just go to my website or buy the book. But as a result, we have a lot of information about what it's like to shift from the physical body into the astral body at death, and also to shift to higher planes. And what they describe is exactly the same thing you would expect when you're tuning a radio dial. You know, you go out of phase with one, and you go in phase
with something else. And so you fade, the old reality fades away. You have some very eloquent descriptions of one man who talks about what happened after he died, you know, and he sits in his chair in his spirit form after they carry his body away. And then as he's sitting there, all of a sudden the fireplace starts to disappear, starts to vanish. And he can see a field and a stream, you know, and that's, and lots of descriptions of shifting between levels in the afterlife that sounds so much like my synchronized universe model.
Yeah. And then what about the subject of, you know, people ask about, is there justice in the afterlife? You know, what happens when to people who did great harm to others in the physical when they pass over? Are they in the same place or the same phase or the same frequency as the rest of us? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, usually you're in a plane with other people kind of like you.
Right.
So if you're mean to people, you know, and always doing, you know, nasty things to them, then the level you will end up in will be a level with many other people who have a similar level of consciousness and a similar type of practice. So the justice comes from experiencing the way they treat you. So it's pretty elegant because everybody kind of does, they punish each other based upon what their level of consciousness is. One difference between the real afterlife and what religions teach is that you're not stuck there. Even in the lowest level, you're not there forever. I mean, I was taught I had to be walking on hot coals for eternity, okay? And it's not that way, that as you learn your lessons, or as you ask for forgiveness, or you begin changing your attitude, then you can start connecting to higher planes. So, because it's really, the whole system is set up for growth, to teach all of us, to help us to evolve.
And we are talking with Dr. Claude Swanson. He's the author of the new book, Science of the Soul, The Afterlife and the Shift. His website is synchronizeduniverse.com. We're going to go to a short break. We come back with more to talk about. Stay with us. Be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those who are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. His show is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website regularly, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. And coming up free in the month of November, we have on November 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. in La Porte, Texas, the Afterlife Discussion Group meets. On November 9th from 2 to 3 p.m., 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and also would at the same time, 11 to noon Pacific and everything in between and on the sides, our online meeting of the Visionary Explorers Group takes place. And also on November 9th from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, the Miami, Florida Afterlife Discussion Group meets. Our annual winter grief retreat, Love Knows No Death, is filling up, so make your travel arrangements now and take advantage of our early bird rates that will expire on December 9th. This great and meaningful weekend has been organized to optimize the experiences of just 50 attendees who will work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Angelina Diana, Doreen Malloy, and Renata Santarelli, along with Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, who will be traveling all the way from Scotland as our special guest facilitator. Join us on this special weekend, January 10th through 12th, 2020, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2019 is up and running on our website. One chance is only $5, and you could be one of the five winners of medium readings with certified mediums Janet Nohavik, Joanne Gerber, Dustin Livers, Angelina Diana, and Bobby Allison. And if you are planning to be in New York for the holidays, reserve your seats now for an evening of spirit communication at Holidays Past Smithtown with Joe Peretta and Gina Simone on Saturday, December 14th. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website, clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Claude Swanson, the author of Science of the Soul, and a lot more information about Claude and the book, and how you can order it is on synchronizeduniverse.com. Claude, one of the things that you talk about in the book that you mentioned is that you believe that we should all learn to use the power of the mind while we're in the physical, as it'll be even more important in the afterlife. So want to explain that a bit?
Sure. This is one of the big lessons that comes from a lot of the spirit contact. And Dolores Cannon, who regresses people into past lives and between lives, also says it. that our consciousness is really the essence of who we are. Our physical bodies are not very important. You know, we kind of take on the physical body we need in this lifetime to do what we want to need to do, but the consciousness is the key. Famous reverend, A.D. Matson, arranged to have a medium he could communicate with in the afterlife, and he gave her a blow-by-blow for several years in his afterlife about what he was going through. And one of the things he talked about is learning to focus the mind to one point, as he called it. He said they give classes in one-pointing in the afterlife, because you can manifest things, but if your mind is scattered, then what you manifest is not going to work out very well. He says, for example, if you intend to travel to London, and halfway to London you start thinking about Cairo or something, then you won't get to London. So you can't let your mind wander. So that was one of the principles that I came up with from this whole business, that we that this physical reality is a slowed down version of that, where our minds and our ability to consciously focus, and we can manifest things in the physical, and there are a lot of books about that, but it's kind of a slowed down version of the afterlife.
Yeah, and I know that you're also a big believer in trying to change things through group consciousness. I know you organize global peace prayers and so forth. As a matter of fact, one of those prayers we've been reading at the end of every radio show forever.
We will read it tonight. Yeah.
So do you think that when we focus as a group, you know, collectively, that we can affect more change than just one person?
Absolutely, yes. I really believe that, Bob, and there are scientific experiments that show that too, that when people meditate or they pray in a synchronized or a coordinated way, you know, there are experiments that show that they drop the crime rate in the D.C. area 30-40% for a month or two when people were focusing on that. And so I have a protocol on global peace prayer on the website for how people can coordinate all around the world. So they focus their good intentions, their loving thoughts, together at the same time. And I really believe it multiplies like the square of the number of people who are involved. So it is a good thing. It can be.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's a lot of, numerous studies that try to isolate areas in the human brain that change, you know, when people are in meditative states or altered states of consciousness. Do you think that there are any areas in the physical brain that help facilitate these non-physical communications?
Well, I think the pineal gland, just as people say, is one of the key areas. It's called the third eye because it does have some characteristics like the eye, even though it's buried inside the center of the head. If you start looking at the torsion energy that flies through space, these torsion waves that connect everything with everything else throughout the universe, I think the pineal gland is focusing those waves. And that's how, when in meditation, we can sometimes get images, very clear, tiny little images of people or other distant places that occur spontaneously inside the mind. And I think the pineal gland is playing a key role there. But I think on a larger scale, probably the aura, our energy field of the whole body, is also playing a really important role, because it's also torsion, and it ties us in with the vibrations of the universe. And it's what we carry with us after we die, too.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the introduction, I mean, you've done research with Kirlian photography. So, I mean, does torsion play a role in aura, seeing one's aura?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in Volume 2, I explain that. You can actually show scientifically that colored photography really is measuring the left-handed torsion at various points around the body, the acupuncture points. So that's what it's based on.
Yeah. So what do you think about, we touched on this before, but one of the reasons, one of the way that this shift is going to manifest is in these solar flares, which seem to be happening with increasing, frequency. What effect might that have on our physical world?
Well, my theory is, and this is just my theory, the best I can come up with based upon what I know, that there's the left-handed torsion that we're moving through. We're moving through a space with enhanced left-handed torsion, and that's the sun is going to soak up that energy too. The Earth, of course, is in this environment right now, but as the sun soaks it up, then if there is a solar flare, and not really sort of bigger than just a normal solar flare, but bathes the Earth very suddenly in all these particles that have been charged up with left-handed torsion, we'll get a strong hit of this left-handed torsion energy, and that could cause a really big shift, or a sudden shift in consciousness on the Earth. And it'll also cause physical effects like earthquakes and things like that as well. So in my mind, at least, in my version of the theory, I think this sudden burning off or explosion of the photosphere around the sun just provides the particles that will carry that torsion and drop it on the Earth when this event happens. So that's just my theory, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, we certainly will. Obviously, I mean, the book Science of the Soul is about 700 pages long. You have we could interview you every week, and we're still not going to get through it. One of the chapters that you go in depth on is electronic voice phenomena, which seems to.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
Before we go there, could I just say that in the introduction of the book, I also talk quite a bit about evidence for ETs, and in this, what I mean by that is we're getting telescope photographs of large craft around the sun, things that don't belong there. I mean, spheres that are bigger than planets interacting with our sun. And it kind of suggests that some advanced technology is trying to help, massage or maneuver us through this particular period. So, that to me is part of this whole phenomenon.
Yeah. And these sightings, appear to, be happening with much greater frequency than before. So perhaps that has something to do with this shift, that others are aware of what's going on. Perhaps they're willing to help, So and you discussed that, in the book. So we're not going to have time, unfortunately, to get into a lot of the specific evidence. I know Claude has dedicates a large part of the book to things like electronic voice phenomena and physical mediumship and the great physical mediums of the past and, ectoplasm and so forth. So we'll have to do that in part two. The book is called Science of the Soul, and you can find out more information by visiting synchronizeduniverse.com. And Claude doesn't mind us giving out his email, claudeswanson@gmail.com. Claude, as always, it's been a pleasure. I'm sorry we just got to scratch the surface, but hopefully you'll come back and we'll do part two. So
absolutely. Thank you, Bob. Great talking to you.
Same here, and have a good evening. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.